All right, I'd like to say welcome to everybody that is here with me and the saints that are listening online. And of course, all you that will find this and listen online later after we post it in the fellowship area. Welcome in Christ's holy name. Thanks for joining me. Today, I want to bring a teaching on condemnation versus conviction. Condemnation versus conviction. This topic, it comes up from time to time. Recently, it was raised by a sister, and we discussed it, and we thought it might be a good topic to talk about. The topic of condemnation versus conviction in the life of a Christian, of Christ follower. It's two important aspects of our life, so we got to rightly divide this. Before we dig into the teaching, I always like to say, make sure if you're listening to this after the we post this, go to don'tperish.com, click on the gospel link. Make sure you're born of God. These teachings are specifically aimed towards saints that are born again. If you're not born again, we preach the gospel to you and help you come to new life in Christ. So go look at the gospel at don'tperish.com. Test yourself. Make sure you're born of God, not just man-made religion or some aberrant faith system. And then as you're listening, make sure you write down verses, go back and read them, meditate on them later. Test me to the word of God. And I always encourage people to be studied up, be a Berean. And so you can listen to teaching from a trusted brother. Just make sure you go and read the scriptures and test for yourself along the way, because none of us are perfect, and we have to make sure that we're rightly preaching the word of God. So let's talk about these two aspects, condemnation versus conviction. I want to talk about what condemnation is, what it does, and who basically brings it. And then we're going to explore what conviction is, what it does, and who usually brings it. So we're going to start with condemnation. We're going to look at a verse in the Old Testament for condemnation. Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. And it says, if there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. So that's pretty straightforward right there. That word in the Hebrew, condemn, is rashad. It means wrong, in sin or wicked, guilty. So condemnation, to condemn, right? It's like when a judge has a man who's accused of murder standing before him and all the evidence is seen, and then he makes a judgment and he condemns the man to either life in prison or sometimes a death sentence. So it's a condemnation, guilt, sin, judgment. And in the Old Testament, it's used about 19 times. And I think it's good to remember that they were under the Torah law. And so opposing the Torah law oftentimes meant instant death. They would stone people, false teachers, people that broke Sabbath. And so they faced a instant condemnation, judgment here on earth. And of course, then God on judgment day as well. So looking at the word condemnation, we're going to move into the New Testament because that's where we're living. That's where we're walking today. It's used 43 times in the New Testament. I thought that was kind of interesting. And let's talk about some examples of condemnation in the New Testament. Let's look at Matthew 12, verse 37. And this is Jesus talking. He says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So there's a chance to be condemned, and there's a chance to be justified. You notice you got a choice there. Yeah. So that word in the New Testament is katadikazo. It means basically similar to the Old Testament word, judgment, guilt, condemnation, to condemn, to make a judgment. And so we're going to look at some other verses on condemnation in the New Testament. Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again 30 pieces of silver of the chief priests and elders. So he was condemned. Same basic word, same mindset, guilty. It was a judgment on himself. So he brings that condemnation. Okay. We see this a lot of time in scripture. where is this condemnation coming from? We're going to talk about that. Matthew 20, verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. This is where they said Jesus was guilty, wrongfully accused him, and they made a judgment on him because of their so-called guilt on him. He was sinless, but they made a condemnation, and they judged him to death. How about Luke 24:12? And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him unto be condemned to death and have crucified him. Again, talking about Christ. So you notice this is man bringing condemnation here. That's pretty key. Remember that. All right. Acts 13, verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they are fulfilled them in condemning him. Again, more condemnation from who? The rulers. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 34. Apostle Paul, brother Paul. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So here Paul is reminding them to make sure they're not doing the Lord's Supper wrong. And he's saying that will bring condemnation. So this is man, again, bringing condemnation on himself. That word's a little different, krima in the Greek, but it still means the same thing. It's a decision or a decree based upon guilt and judgment. So if we notice in the New Testament, if you read the many times condemnation's used, like as I mentioned, it's usually men talking of condemnation. For the most part. All right. Think about it. Condemnation. Where does it come from? Well, it usually comes from our flesh, our past, from men and people and systems around us, or the enemy Satan. He brings condemnation to us. Now, God does warn of condemnation, but we're going to see it's not God's goal in the New Testament to bring condemnation to us. We're going to see that. We'll see what the Spirit brings. As we go on here, I think it's important to note here, we know how destructive our flesh is, and we know that the false ways of people around us, especially man-made religion, it brings a lot of lies, false ways, heresy, unjust condemnation, usually in great hypocrisy, and it brings us up, it brings condemnation upon us. Let me give you one example. Oh, you don't gather with people like you should. Well, they're all doing worldly, carnal, pagan ways. They condemn us because we don't gather with them. See how that's condemnation brought on by men? But God's word tells us not to join to sinful people that keep worldly, pagan, false, heretical ways. So that's condemnation of man. It's great hypocrisy that they do that. So we need to see that and be mindful of it so that it doesn't affect us and our walk. We also know that Satan, the enemy, is great at condemning God's people. Jesus said he's a liar. He's a murderer. There's no truth in him. And if we read Revelation 12, verse 10, we see what he's up to, what he does. And it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So we don't know a lot about that, but just picture Satan accusing the brethren day and night. All right. He's a liar. So he's bringing false accusations, trying to bring condemnation to us. So we see ourselves bringing condemnation, people, man-made religion around us, our past, and we see Satan also bringing condemnation upon us. So with that thought in mind, that it's our flesh and man and Satan who condemns us, we need to ask this question, what does God in Christ come to do? So we can condemn ourselves, our past condemns us, the people around us, false religion, the government, and our enemy Satan condemns us. So here's a big question. What does God in Christ come to do? Does he come to condemn us? No. That's part of the good news that I want to proclaim to you as I go out and preach the gospel. He does not come to condemn us. He came to save, not condemn. Let's read some verses. John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him they might be saved. I love that. So he didn't come to just condemn the world. If he wanted to condemn the world, he didn't have to send Christ. He could have condemned the world because we're all guilty. He came to show us the way out. How about this verse? The very next verse, John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So take a look here. We have a choice of condemnation. We can believe, and we know it's more than just belief. It's new life through the gospel and repentance and obeying and holiness and enduring. Belief is an allegiance to Christ, to follow and obey him and to love him. But we can make a choice. But if we believe not, we choose not to believe, we bring condemnation on ourselves. Who's really bringing the condemnation there, God or us? God gives us a choice. We bring it upon ourselves, don't we? We really do. So we can see that Jesus, via the biblical gospel, came to call sinners to repent. He does not condemn us. Here's the big if. If we seek his ways, if we forsake our sin, if we see his kingdom and follow after it in spirit and truth, there will be no condemnation. We have a choice. So it's our flesh, it's our past, it's men around us, systems around us. It's Satan that brings condemnation, not God. He gives us his choice and says, I don't want to condemn you. Choose this way of life. So this is a beautiful thing to ponder. John 8, verse 11. I love this verse. John 8, 11. She said, no man. She said, Jesus, in this, I should give the verse before it. Jesus is asking her, who condemns you? In John 8, 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So here we see, Jesus didn't want to come to condemn. They caught her in adultery. They were going to stone her. Jesus convicts all the men around her. They walk away because they can't throw the first stone. And he says, I don't condemn you. But then he doesn't just say, go live any way you want. You're fine. He says, go and sin no more. The condemnation was lifted. Light and redemption calls you to obedience. That's very important. That's part of the gospel that we proclaim. If we choose sin, we are condemned. Now, think of this woman. She was caught. She was inches away from being stoned to death. They did that often. If this woman looks past the forgiveness that Jesus gave her, and if she listens to herself and her past, people around her or the enemy, she's going to have condemnation fall on her. Oh, I was this. Oh, I was that. Look what I did. Yeah, you're nothing but a harlot or a, you know, practicing whatever, a sexually immoral person. And because Christ forgave her and said, go sin no more, the condemnation's lifted, she could go back, okay, into her past life, listening to others, and she's going to feel condemnation rather than what? Freedom, life, that conviction brings. So think about that. She had a choice. She had to decide. She was going to receive that forgiveness that did not lead to condemnation or go back to living under condemnation because of her past, the enemy, people around her. John 3:19, one of my favorite verses. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Again, they have a choice. Jesus is that light. They could choose that light to follow him. How does the condemnation come? They love darkness, sin, rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love sin and evil more than they love the light. They're choosing the condemnation. So even here, God's not bringing the condemnation. He's warning of it, and they are choosing it. We do that often, right? We can choose it by looking back, listening to our own feelings and flesh, listening to others around us. I'm being redundant, listening to the enemy. We got to watch out that we're not doing that. Oftentimes, we put ourselves in wrong situations that bring condemnation. Here's one, 1 Timothy 3:6. Brother Paul says, but a novice, that's like a new believer, should not be a leader, he says, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So a young man comes and he starts teaching. He gets all puffed up and he thinks he's something that he isn't. And Satan can swoop in and use it to condemn and destroy him. No novice should be a teacher or a leader. Anybody striving for that is setting themselves up for condemnation. We have to be careful of that. How about 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Basically, that's talking about like associations. So we hang around with people that are wicked and sinful, worldly, false religious people. They can affect us and it's going to bring condemnation on us because God says, repent, don't spend your time with those people. If you're not preaching the gospel to them or teaching them the word of God, they can bring condemnation to you. So God is not the one that's condemning us in these situations. He's looking to redeem us. If we will turn from our past, turn from sin, repent, and will flee from sin and seek the kingdom of God. I think this next verse kind of wraps it up for us, what God is looking to do. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's talking about Adam and Eve's sin. We all are suffering from that. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So it's comparing Adam who sinned and fell, Jesus perfect. Adam condemns us all because we are prone to sin. Jesus comes, lives a perfect life, and he offers us all, not condemnation, justification unto life. So isn't that beautiful? That's what the gospel brings us. Or this verse, Romans 8:1, another one of my favorite verses. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Most people don't finish this verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if we're in Christ and we walk in the Spirit, that's in truth, and that's loving God, loving our neighbor, reading the word, there's no condemnation. That's awesome. That's what God brings to us, new life, cleansing. But if we walk in the flesh, we're beating ourselves up about our past. We're listening to people around us. We're letting false teachers and false religion get to us, the culture. Yeah, we're letting Satan get to us. We start living in the flesh, not the Spirit. Yeah, the Bible says we're condemned already. Romans 8:8 says you can't even please God in the flesh. So the key is to walk in the Spirit and in truth, and we will not suffer condemnation. So it's important. Consider that condemnation is a final judgment in many ways, either unto death or eternal death, the second death. And it comes from, I'm going to recap, your own feelings, your mind, your past, people around you, friends, family that aren't even believers or false believers, going into sin. Yep. If you go into sin and you won't repent, it's going to bring condemnation on you. Sin from our past, people around us, they drag us back. And as we read, it comes from the enemy, right? So condemnation comes from all these different places. But in general, God did not come to bring condemnation. If he did, he would have done, if he wanted to bring condemnation to the world, he would have done another ark. He would have called one man, he would have saved that one man, and he would have killed everybody else like in Noah's day. But in Christ, he said, I'll send Christ, and everyone has the chance at redemption. So not condemnation, redemption via the gospel. So it's very important that we understand that God did not come to condemn us. If we're feeling lots of condemnation, it's coming from somewhere else, and we'll get to how you can know the difference. And 2 Peter 3:9 just tells us God wants none to perish. How could God bring condemnation if he wants none to perish? He doesn't. He wants to bring us to the newness of life via the gospel, through Spirit, truth, forsaking our sin, forsaking the world, and following after the kingdom of God. So we talked a lot about condemnation. Now we're going to look at conviction, the opposite side, right? Now, the word conviction itself, I thought this was interesting. It's really only used one time in the King James Bible, John 8, verse 9. And it says, they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning the eldest and even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So that goes back to John 8 when they were about to stone her. We just read that verse. And so Jesus kneeled down in the sand, and we don't know what he wrote. Some people have said he started writing their sins. We don't know. We can't tell. But something convicted those people. And that word is elencho, and it means to admonish, rebuke, and refute. Remember the difference? Condemnation was a judgment. This is an admonishment and a rebuke to refute. So this is a call to turn somebody. Condemnation is like a judgment. Done. You're gone. Over. Conviction is to turn your mind, your ways to redeem you. It's to try to convince you. Conviction to convince you. Very different than condemnation or judgment. So the word we need to look at if we want to go further in the New Testament is the word reprove. It's just like convict. It's just a different word in English. And so we see this in the book of John, and it's a work of God's Spirit. John 16, verse 8. Jesus is telling us what the Holy Spirit's going to do when he sends him. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that Greek word is elegcho. It means to convict. Same thing. Convict, refute, admonish. All right. Not to condemn. All right. It's to refute, to admonish, to convict. You can, you know, think of that to change, right? Now, unless we choose a path of rebellion against God and willful sin and following and keeping our own ways, condemnation is not going to come into play for us. Conviction, yes, as we're going to see. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict. He comes to admonish us. He does not come to condemn us. The only people that are going to be condemned are the people that turn away from God's word and truth. They choose sin. Remember, we read about that in John 3. They love sin. They love the darkness. They choose the world over God. Condemnation will come from them one day. Yeah, it will. And God is just, and he will dole it out according to what each man is recompensed for. It will come for them, lest they turn and they repent. So the Holy Spirit's job is convict. He's not come to condemn us to hell. We have a choice, condemnation or conviction. So let's look at other times the word reprove is used. I have a hard time saying that word sometimes. Reprove. Luke 3, verse 19. It says, but Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. So same thing. Reprove is trying to it's a refuting, it's a rebuking, it's an admonition. Hey, you're doing this wrong, with the hope of course, turning somebody. Now, this next verse, John 3:20, this is going to illustrate. Remember we read John 3:19 where it says condemnation, right? If we choose it. But this verse, John 3:20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. So we read about that. Neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. So when you're living a sinful life like I was, and when you hear the word of God or you read the word of God, you're reproved. You're convicted. You're admonished. And the goal of God is to redeem. That's why he sent Christ, to turn us from that way, to renew us, and to make us whole. So big difference from condemnation to conviction, as we're seeing. God's light and spirit convicts and reproves. Condemnation only comes when we choose sin and darkness, or looking back to our old sinful life. The Bible tells us to reprove evil. Here's the next verse, Ephesians 5:11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we don't condemn Satan, right? That's going to be God's job. We reprove them, all right? Big difference, big difference. Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whosoever doth make manifest is light. Again, that word reproved, convicting, admonishing. Very important part of the Christian life that leads to eternal life, rather than condemnation that leads to somewhere else. We'll talk about that. And so the Bible also teaches, like men that are going to be teachers, leaders, we are also to convict and reprove with the word. 2 Timothy 4:2. And this goes for everybody, not just teachers, leaders. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. See what we do it with? We got to be long-suffering for the people that'll listen. We don't long-suffer in sin, no. And we reprove and we rebuke and we exhort. It's the call to redeem. That's the whole point of the gospel. It's why Jesus came, to seek and save sinners, to save the lost. That's what we want to do. Even when you may watch my street preaching videos and see me harshly rebuke a false teacher, the goal is for them to feel the harsh rebuke, to be sent away and say, I can't even say Godspeed to you. Turn, repent. The goal is that that sticks with them so that the Holy Spirit can convict them, so that they'll go study and test themselves, so that they'll turn and repent and flee the condemnation that's coming when they die because of their false ways and be convicted, be reproved to eternal life. That's the whole point. It's kind of like a child, a small child. Sometimes you have to reprove a little. If you get a small child that's really rebellious, the Bible says, bring a rod. What's the whole goal? Certainly not to harm the child physically. The goal is to bring them to the proper mindset and attention and focus on doing that which is right for the kingdom of God. So that's the whole goal here. So here's a very important point. God both convicts and condemns. He has the authority to do that. Think of that. God convicts via the Holy Spirit, and he's going to condemn. He alone has the authority to do that, right? Now, Satan, we read about that, he condemns. That's his nature. That's what he does. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. He has no interest in redemption. He wants to destroy you, lie to you, rip you down, tear you down. That's his goal, right? Now, man can reprove and admonish and convict, what did Paul say? Using doctrine. The whole idea is redemption. We're not to judge a person's eternal fate. You'll never hear me say to a person, you're going to hell no matter what I make that judgment. No. What we warn people is, like if they were driving over a bridge that was out, you're going to perish if you go over that bridge. Stop. Turn. Turn around. Go the other way. We don't know what's going to happen when they get to the bridge. We don't know what's going to happen on judgment day, so I can't make that final condemnation of their soul, but I can warn them of the condemnation that's coming. So it's interesting and important to remember. God convicts and condemns. Satan only condemns. Man wants to convict and admonish using the word to redeem. God also wants to redeem. But on judgment day, there'll be no time to redeem. So God's either going to say, you're my sheep, come with me. You're a goat that is a worker of iniquity that I didn't know you, away from me into outer darkness. I think those are important things to remember as we walk through our Christian life. And again, I want to be clear. We can warn of the coming wrath. We can warn of condemnation. All right. But it's not up to us to make final judgments. We must try to convict, reprove, rebuke, using the word that brings them to what? Life, not death. Remember that. That's going to be important. We'll cover that in a minute. Life, not death. It's loving to warn your neighbor, your false religious family members, children, anybody you know. It's loving to warn them of the condemnation and wrath that's coming. You're not making a final judgment on them. The goal is to reprove and convict them and turn them. Remember the prophet Ezekiel. I was just reading this to a brother the other day. Talks of the watchman on the wall warning the people. And if he didn't warn them, their blood was on his hands. But when he blows the trumpet and warns them, then he's guiltless. And it's on them if they don't listen, that we have to do the same thing. So a couple of challenges here as we're deciphering the difference between condemnation, conviction. I want you to ponder these things in your life. Take stock. The Bible says, test yourself. We should all be testing ourselves. Do you really know the difference between condemnation, which comes from your own self, your own mind, your own feelings, your own flesh, looking back, oh, I used to do this, I used to do that, or, yeah, you're in ongoing sin, willful sin, and you go, if I keep doing this, I'm going to suffer the condemnation of God on judgment day. Yep. Is that coming from you? It's going to be condemnation one day because you're living in willful sin. So it could be from your past, it could be from ongoing sin, or is it from others around you, the culture, family members, false religious people wrongly condemning you, using unbiblical ways, You don't do Christmas. You don't do Easter. You dress funny. You're legalistic. We've all heard all these sayings. They're not biblical, and they're trying to condemn you. Or is it the enemy come telling you lies? We've all heard this probably in our subconscious. You're worthless. You've sinned too much. God doesn't want you anymore. He's not listening to you. He's going to ignore you. You're not worth redeeming. That is not conviction. That's condemnation. That's coming from you, others, or the enemy. That's not coming from the Father. We just read, He does not want anyone to perish. Why would He condemn you and make you feel bad that way and destroy you without giving you a path to life? God doesn't do that. God is the giver of life. He's not the author of death. This is Satan and sin. Man's will chose death. God did not bring that upon us. So it's just interesting to think about. Do you know the difference? Do you know where it's coming from? In James, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if you think it's coming from him, you need to resist him. Get in the word, get in prayer, tell your brothers and sisters, resist him, and in time he'll flee from you. You know, the Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion. If you know anything about lions, one of the things they do is when they attack a herd, they always look for the weaklings and they get them first. So if you're strong in the word and you resist him, he goes off. He'll go look for somebody else. That's what Satan does. He's a roaring lion. Or the other side of this is, do you understand conviction? So that's condemnation. Comes from your flesh, your past, looking back, people around you, false religious systems, or the enemy. How about conviction? The Holy Spirit, when he convicts you, says, don't do that. You know it's sin. You hear it in your conscience. Turn away from that. Christ died for you. Repent of that. We'll wash you in the word and make you new. We'll lift you up. We'll restore you with the Father. Come, I'll forget your sins. Repent. I won't hold you to your past. 7 times 70 forgiveness you get, Jesus said. No, you haven't sinned too much to be out of the Father's grace. Come, be free in Christ. Be made new. That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is destructive. Conviction is very different, and it leads you to a path forward. Most of our condemnation, in my experience and counseling people, most of it comes from our past, our flesh, and our guilt feelings. And then throw in other family members in the culture, and then, yes, Satan does it as well. But the Bible says we're to look ahead, not back. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no one's fit for the kingdom of God who's looking backward. So if you sinned and you repented of it, you put it away, don't be looking back. That's your flesh, that's people, that's the enemy trying to condemn you of what Christ already forgave you for. That's like trampling the blood of Jesus. Don't you believe that you've been forgiven? So you need to turn and you need to fight against that. You must, and we all must, learn to know the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is from yourself, the enemy, and people around you. Conviction is from the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and godly people trying to guide you into more truth. And I think this might help you as we're going back and forth between condemnation and conviction. Maybe this will help you. This helps me. Very simple, but I think this is very poignant as we close up here. Condemnation leads to death and judgment. Conviction and reproving leads to grace and life. And just think of those two different ones. And here's the thing. If you test these things, your emotions, your thought, the people around you, Satan, you can discern then who they're from, right? If you're feeling feelings like, oh, you're no good, you're going to die and go to hell, there's no hope for you, that's leading to death. It's coming probably from the enemy. It's coming from your past that you won't forgive and accept what God's given. It's leading to death. It's condemnation. But if it says, come to the light, be made new, come to Christ, repent, turn from your sin, he'll put it all away, then it leads to light. Then it's conviction. So remember that condemnation leads to death and judgment. Conviction and reproving leads to the grace of God and eternal life. We have to test these emotions so that we can guard against them. Ephesians 6, putting on our spiritual armor, Don't let it down. Don't let those enemies' arrows get past that, or the arrows of our flesh, which is often the worst case. And remember that Satan, just remember this, this is really important. Satan, the enemy, and his minions, and people of the world are false religious people. They are not interested in reproving and correction. They've come to kill, steal, destroy, and tear down. That's the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation destroys, conviction and reproving lifts up to the light. So I hope that helps you understand the difference between the two. Study and read all those verses. I want to leave you with a great verse of promise as we go over, as we went over this topic. Acts 3:19. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That's conviction. Calling us to repentance. We're converted by the Spirit of God. Our sins are blotted out and we'll be refreshed to eternal life. Condemnation is going to destroy you, tear you down, take away your peace, your joy, separate you from God's true people. Don't listen to it. Don't give ground to it. And the big key I found in my life is, and Romans 8 and Galatians 5 teaches this, and I teach it a lot, make sure you're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. And the more you walk in the Spirit, you won't face condemnation. You face the conviction, the reproving, the correction, the rebuking of God's word and his people that leads you to life. You walk in the flesh, you get condemnation, a lot of bad feelings, destruction, hopelessness. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not fulfill condemnation in your life. Walk in the Spirit, and you will fulfill what God wants for us. Life, light, eternal life in Jesus Christ. So I hope this teaching helps all of you to rightly discern, test, and seek the difference between condemnation and conviction. Know when you're feeling one or the other. When you feel condemnation, run to the Lord, run in prayer, run to the Word, run to brothers and sisters, and confess what's happening, and they'll lift you up and help convict you to the Word and the Spirit and to life. And that's how it works. If we hide in condemnation, we'll be destroyed. We run into conviction and the light of the Spirit and truth of God's Word. So I hope that's been edifying to you. Thanks for listening in, everybody. Let us know how we can edify you. Go to our website, don'tperish.com. If you don't know about it, go to the teaching blog, go to the sister's blog. This audio will be in the fellowship teaching area, hopefully later today. And there's many other ones there, along with lots of articles at our Spirit and Truth teaching blog. So till next time, if we get the chance to come to you again, walk in the truth of God's word, walk in Spirit and Truth, walk in the conviction of God's word with other saints. Avoid the condemnation of your flesh, the enemy, people around you. And seek to glorify God with all that you are, seeking his kingdom every day you live, looking for his return, or one day here. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hey, till next time, thanks for listening. We love you all. May God be praised.